Blistering insight, well-researched fact, insightful comment. I'm afraid you've come to the wrong place. But welcome, because this is none other than the world-famous Leicester City Pubcast. Hello everyone, welcome to the Leicester City Pubcast, home of the 2016 Premier League champions and 2021 FA Cup winners. Welcome to the Foss Arms, the greatest hostelry in the world, serving the greatest drink in the world, Trump Wales IPA. And to sup it tonight with myself, Tim, is Norm. Good evening.
Good evening, Tim.
And Killer, welcome back. Good evening.
Yes, good evening, Tim.
You got over your light head cold?
Yeah. Yeah, it was I would say it was a 24-hour cold, but turned out to be a 6-day virus.
just as well, it wasn't 7 days, just fucking time.
Exactly, mate.
So I've got it's good to have you back. I've got a confession to make. Didn't go to the game. Tried to get a ticket, couldn't get a ticket, and went and watched England play rugger instead. Which was a funny experience, if I'm honest. I know, Norm, you're like, and I think you are, Killer, as well, aren't you? Like, so football all day long, and behind that, I do want England to win at rugby and at cricket. So magic, you know, we've got three great sports. So I've been to Twickenham a few times, but it's an odd atmosphere. It's like England, I mean, you probably know, are losing for most of the game. I'm like, why isn't anyone going angry here? They're all just, you know, clunking glasses and chatting to the Welsh guy next door and all that. I know we'll have Welsh listeners. You know, Wales did really, really well. But I'm like, this is just crazy. A few swing low, sweet chariots, and then it was all over. So anyway, just as we're filing out through the concourse, so thousands of people obviously filing out, I hear this lad shout out, "Blue Army!" and there's another lad with him, and he joins in. And I thought, right, West London, this is most likely to be Chelsea, isn't it? But I thought, there's no way I'm not going to risk that. So I went over to him. I went, you guys Leicester? Like, yeah, Leicester City. We had the biggest hug. It was absolutely brilliant, hugging a stranger time. So the only two chants I heard during the whole afternoon was Swing Low and Blue Army. So I thought, something Leicester City came out of it, Killer.
Yeah, brilliant.
But something Leicester City came out of the Watford game as well. Three more points, but a bit more hard earned, these ones.
Yeah, I mean, it was a game where you've seen the good and the bad of not just the way that Leicester City play football, the way that most professional football teams play now. They play out from the back, of course. Second goal, absolute thing of beauty. I can't stop watching it, to be honest. It's just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful goal. And then, obviously, at 2-0, I thought we were comfortable at 2-0, Tim. In truth, I thought we were comfortable at 2-0. I thought we would probably score a third or see the game out at 2-0. And unfortunately, Harry Winks, and I'm not going to be critical of him at all because he has been absolutely brilliant. He's just been caught out, and it's just about as bad a mistake at this level that you're ever likely to see. It was something very Sunday morning football about it. He's literally handed the ball to Dennis. Dennis has scored. And then it's been a bit of a struggle. But now the struggle's over. Now we've got the 3 points. There's something I quite liked about that end period, because I like the fact that we had to dig in. We had to show a bit of resilience. And we had to knuckle down a little bit. And it was nice that we came through it, because we have, obviously, in previous shows, pointed a bit of a finger and question marked a little bit with Leicester, whether or not they've got the capability to hang on to a lead, and whether or not they have the capability to soak up a bit of pressure. Well, we had to soak up a bit of pressure against Watford. And the course, as I always say, it's an outcome-based game. It's another 3 points, just as well, because this is a very rare season, isn't it, in that we've got the three relegated clubs are all absolutely now in fifth gear and motoring. Don't normally see that. You normally see at least one drop off. You normally see one does pretty well. And you normally see one that hangs around hangs around the playoffs. Well, we've actually got three that are in top gear now. Norm and I obviously knew that Ipswich were going to drop off. You didn't, Tim. You were convinced they were going to pip us to the post, and obviously they won't. In fact, they probably won't even get into the playoffs now.
Bit like Preston,
yeah. We've now got a relegation battle.
All right, we've all got skeletons in the corner. Yeah, don't worry. Do you remember you going on about Norwich Killer for quite a while?
I've got plenty of skills. I'm Middlesbrough.
I'll take that Ipswich one. I'm just disappointed.
Yeah. But anyway, it's just as well. I mean, we've got three teams that appear to be winning every single football match. Thankfully, we're one of them. Thankfully, we've got that big point gap. And once again, it's looking very, very good, isn't it?
I'll forgive Harry Rinks for the same reasons that you do, Killer, but also because, I don't know if you know, as you mentioned, that second goal, Norm, was an absolute thing of beauty, wasn't it? But the best thing about it for me was... Harry Winks was in as part of the attack, trying to keep up with the attack and, you know, running as a professional footballer, fast to keep up with the attack and try and contribute to it. Didn't need to. The ball went in. And then he speeded up to join in the celebration, which I thought was brilliant.
That, obviously, Tim, that's because he knows where the ball might come out to. So obviously he was trying to preempt that. But it was an absolutely sensational goal. It really was, wasn't it? And like Killer alluded to, I just made notes on this saying that exactly like as you said, it was very much the good of Leicester, and particularly under Enzo. And like he says, the way that teams play now, just superb, quick, decisive. The way that, you know, Ricardo's played it out, running, scored the goal, absolutely wonderful. It's really superb. And maybe the fact that Winks was, you know, joking aside, having to do such a run, maybe that's why he didn't quite get his foot around the bad part of the game, which was, I mean, you can see what he's trying to do. He's trying to pass it to Fass, but instead of getting it at 45 degrees, it's just gone straight to Dennis. But we cannot laud Winks enough this season. So, you know, if anyone deserves to make a mistake that hasn't cost us the game, that has made us dig in, has shown that we can be resilient. And I love Killer's point there about it was actually, you know, when we can look back in hindsight, we have won the game and must give the players a little bit of confidence to know that we can hold leads when we're under a bit of pressure, because there's been a couple of times when we've lost them that, you know, must knock confidence a little bit. But, you know, I'm absolutely with him. I thought we were in control of the game without playing particularly well. I don't think we played, apart from that goal, I thought it was a fairly mediocre performance. But it's like Killer said, results business, won the game. If we can win games away at teams that can still get into the playoffs, playing, you know, not really literally getting out of second gear, then that's a really, really, really good sign. And we're just motoring on towards the promotion and the title.
Yeah, it looks that way. We have got some difficult fixtures coming up, haven't we? But thankfully, that was a really good weekend, because Southampton, although they made heavy weather of it to start with, and Leeds both had very easy home fixtures, didn't they? And this one looked like a slightly tricky one. Another great day for Daka, Killer. I know you always say, you know, you'd stick with the striker, and prove him right again. He's got an incredible scoring record at the moment. That's a penalty, but they all count.
Yeah, they do. It's just a really, really odd one, isn't it? He was the one guy that was just spent so long in the first half of the season on the bench, never getting used. We were all puzzled at that, all convinced that at this level he would have a role to play. He's playing it. I think it's a discussion, and I think it's actually a discussion for us to have now, really. You're right, he's played 10 games, he's got 7 goals, a few penalties in there, and he's got 3 assists. It's just this question mark. Do we see enough from him at this level for us to get excited about what he could do as and when we're going to get promoted? And I throw this one out, guys, because it's... Again, I was having a discussion with a few Leicester fans today with regards to the whole Leicester squad. We're all in agreement that in the summer we're going to need at least one centre-back. It doesn't look like the Cody deal's worked out at this level, therefore would suggest it's not going to work out at the Premier League level. Is young Nelson going to be good enough? What do we do with Callum Doyle? Blah-de-blah-de-blah. We decided, but we needed at least one centre-back. Question to you two guys. Do we keep Patson Daka?
Go on, no.
Yeah, I think we do. I mean, assuming he wants to stay. And I think one of the reasons he didn't play at the beginning was I think initially he probably wanted out. And you know, with our strikers scoring goals, I suppose it's hard to break in when you're only playing one up front all the time. So I don't think he's a player I'm currently getting excited about, but I think he's scoring enough to suggest he probably deserves a chance. I think we need another striker, without a doubt. And I can't imagine we'll end up keeping Kelechi and Daka and Vardy. And obviously we've got Tom Cannon, who's a new signing. So it will be very interesting to see what does happen in that. But I'm happy enough with him to think that he has a part to play, and if he can improve and if he can, you know, move on over the summer, then maybe he could play a really significant role. I mean, he's certainly got the pace, hasn't he? So I think there's something there, but he's one of these players that if he was sold, I wouldn't be sat here thinking, oh, it's an absolute disaster. You know, I would think, well, hopefully we'll just get someone a bit better in, but happy for him to stay.
I'd go the other way, actually. I think we've just got to be conscious, you know, with all the things we're discussing over these weeks and months, that we are in the Championship. And, you know, he's done well. I didn't understand him being frozen out for so long at this level. And I think he's proved that was a mistake once the transfer window had shut. But I just think, you know, I don't think his overall contribution is great, and I think in the Premier League we know he's not going to finish. And the other point is, I mean, Transfer Market, which is a respected website, value him at 14 million euros at the moment. Now that probably feels about right to me. 12.5 million pounds, something like that, 30 million pounds. So if we could raise some revenue of that sort of extent from selling him, I would do that, because I think we need a complete overhaul up top. What would you do, Keller, as you asked the question?
Yeah, I'm with you two guys, really. And it's clear, it's like not an easy call. The not easy call bit is there aren't loads of great strikers out there. We know that. We also know that he's had a bash at the Premier League level, looked like he was out of his depth. Now, having said that, has he developed? Has he matured? Is he a better player? I don't know. I don't get the feeling when I watch him. Obviously, he's a threat at this level. I just don't get the feeling when I watch him that he's somebody that's got significantly better. I'm a bit with you, Tim. I think two things would have to happen. Number one, we'd have to have somebody lined up. And then number two, I think the money would have to be right. I do think the figures you've mentioned are a tad low. You know, this is a guy that's proven himself at international level. He's bagged a few for Leicester, done reasonably well in the Championship. I'd be looking for my money back, to be perfectly honest with you. I might be a bit optimistic on that. I think the other thing about Leicester as well, where we can be optimistic, is I think some of the signings since the summer have been pretty good, haven't they? You know, we've had, obviously, Harry Winks. He's worked out quite well. We've got Mavididi. Obviously, that's been a real hit. We've got Fatawu on loan. That looks good. The Cannon deal now looks very good, doesn't it? You know, it looks like we've got him cheap. And generally speaking, I think there's a lot to be said that maybe the club have got the recruitment, which in the past has been good, but indifferent some seasons. I think we'd agree with that. Looks like we've got the recruitment back on track. Therefore, do we trust the recruiters by selling some of these players that we've got question marks about, raising a bit of revenue? Do we now, with a little bit more optimism, trust them to go out into the market and bring back a better quality of player than maybe we've done previously?
I think it's worth, just on that, I mean, it was very telling. I just to pick up on something you touched on there, Killer. Very telling that Nelson started over Cody.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, that I think that is a real... I think there's a lot of talk before the game as to who would play. And I think the fact he's not started Cody does you know, I'm not saying it necessarily signals the end, but you know, for an ex-England international to be left out for a young, for a young lad that's played, you know, a handful of times is a big statement, and shows what Enzo probably thinks of Nelson. And but regarding the recruitment, I mean, this links in with Cody. I think you could almost say the recruitment going, when I say going forward, I mean attacking wise, has been positive. The recruitment defensively probably hasn't been quite so good. I mean, obviously Cody appears to be a bit of a disappointment. For me, I don't dislike Callum Doyle, but I would always have JJ in there instead of him on the left or either side of the defence. So I don't think Callum Doyle's necessarily been an absolute hit. You know, he plays the ball nicely, but I think there's an argument there. And of course, he's only on loan. So I think that it's whether the recruiters can strengthen defensively as well, because however great our quarterback Vestergaard's been this season, I am, and I'm sorry for being negative, and you know, I think he's been bordering our play of the season. He's been amazing, but he's not, for me, going to be able to do this in the Premier League. So I think we've got a big changes at the back to consider. You know, JJ.
I'm not sure about big changes, Norm. It's funny you mentioned this, because I was thinking about this myself, and I think our defence. I agree with you about Vestergaard, very sadly. I just don't think he's going to be fast enough for the Premier League. I think we just get massively exposed. Every team we play, will just play their fastest striker against us. But I think other than that, we've got a pretty fast, solid. JJ's solid and Pereira's solid. So I think, ironically, our recruitment will end up, we'll probably do a show on this at some point further down the line, but would need to be at the other end of the pitch more so, wouldn't it?
Well, I think I'm referring to the recruitment that we've had in defence. I'm not, you know, Fass, of course, and JJ and Pereira, they're great players, but there needs to be other ones there as well. I think the recruitment's been good forward-wise, so hopefully they could do that again. And there needs to be a change. We can't go into the Premier League up top with Vardy, Dakar and Iheanacho. Well, we can do, but I think that's asking for trouble. I think we need to replace one of them at least. And I have to say... If you said to me, why didn't you ask me the question, Tim? Which one would I get rid of?
No, because you might say Vardy, so I'm not asking you.
No, of course I wouldn't say Vardy. I'd say Iheanacho. Yeah. He's the one that I think I would lose if I had to choose. If one of them went, he's the one that I'd get rid of, and I think he'd probably get the most. Would probably get the most money for him as well.
Is he not?
He's out of contract.
I was going to say, is he not out of contract?
He's out of contract. But I'll just go back to something that you've said, Tim, because I think you made a relevant point, and with regards to the back line, and you know, we've obviously got some good fullbacks, but generally speaking, at any level of football, you need four good quality centre backs, and actually, you've mentioned one.
Yeah. Yeah, fair point.
You know what I mean? So we've got this question mark now about the three. Now, what we know about modern day football, and this irritates the death out of me, this is why you don't get any, very little business in January. And you get, actually, have you noticed just how difficult that every single football club finds it now to get rid of footballers? You know, in the old days, when you used to have a clear out, you'd get rid of everybody, couldn't you, seemingly? Now, it seems like you can't give anybody away because of agents' fees, signing on for, you know, it's become such a ridiculously overly expensive sport. But actually, if you look at it, and I wouldn't want to necessarily, I'm going to contradict myself here. I don't think we necessarily need to completely overhaul that Leicester City squad. But there are a number of players. Just take the centre-back position is a really good one. Okay, so we've got, we would all agree, wouldn't we, that Faz stays. He's our number one centre-back. He stays. Then we've got a question mark about Vestergaard. Now, some of my mates think give him another contract. I'm of the camp of I think he's going to get exposed at the Premier. In fact, I know he's going to get exposed. I don't even want to go down that route. Okay. Then we've got the argument about Harry Suter. Well, he doesn't fancy him, does he? So presumably Suter, at some point, we're going to try and get rid of him. Now, I say try because, again, we might not do that. And he's under contract. Okay, so then we've got the Cody situation. My understanding is he's got another year left at his contract. He's proving himself not to be good enough at the Championship. Therefore, it would, you'd have to say, is he going to be good enough at the... We could end up having to buy two or three centre-backs, but we could end up not getting rid of two or three centre-backs. And just once again, back to this inflated squad thing. This is the worry for me.
I've got the feeling, Killer, you're right, and this is why there's a couple of things from the match I just want to come back to, and one of them is Dennis Pratt, but it's reasons that people like Dennis Pratt haven't left as the wages they're on. I just suspect with Cody and Suter, I don't think they'll have been on very big wages in relative terms, and I think they're both going to want to play football. So I wonder whether it actually might be a bit easier to get rid of them than it has been some of our other players.
Maybe. I don't know. What do you think, Norm?
I think it all depends on what clubs are interested in them. I think Cody would want to play. I think Suter and Cody would both want to play. I think Suter's he's a really decent defender. He just doesn't at all fit with our style. I think he'd do a good job at a top end championship side, maybe a lower end Premier League side at a push. So if someone came in for him that, you know, if Burnley came in for him, for instance, he'd probably be interested.
Well, he seemed like he was interested in Sheffield. Well, there was some interest with Sheffield United, wasn't there?
Yeah, exactly. No, knowing the likelihood is that they'd be down. And I think the same with Cody. I mean, Cody's obviously an experienced player. He's coming towards the twilight of his career. He is going to want to play football. And if he's not going to be playing football at Leicester, I would imagine that he's the kind of player that would want to get off. And given that we've not paid much money for him, It's not a huge loss, is it?
Just a couple of things on Cody, because whilst we've been doing this, I've just Googled this. It's absolutely eye-watering, right? Signed in the summer. What's the term of his contract? Does anybody know? How long we signed him for?
Well, I would have said 2 years. I'm guessing by your question, it's going to be 3, is it?
I would have thought three, maybe 4.
Yeah, 3 years. 3 years. What do you reckon he's on a week?
Oh, no. Is it more than I'd just hoped?
I'm 75.
That's a brilliant guess. It's exactly £75,000 a week. We ain't getting rid of him, are we?
Well, I mean, I think it depends if another Premier League team would take him.
Right. No, I don't think that's going to happen.
I mean, I think the other thing with Cody, and we're here judging a player that he hasn't, you know, when he has played for us, he's certainly not set the world on fire at all. But he really hasn't. I couldn't honestly tell you how many appearances he's had this season, but he's not played a lot, has he? And, you know, there's an argument to say, given he's been out injured, that he's just not really had the opportunity to settle and show what he can do. I mean, you know, he was a fairly recent England international. You know, and he was a signing. I think I was exceptionally pleased we got him at the beginning of the season.
We've been talking about him for a while, haven't we? Seven matches, by the way. He's played 7 games this season.
Yeah, and that's just not a lot. So he's not been great. What I don't like about him is he just looks quite small. You know, he doesn't sort of make me think, oh, he's a, you know, when you look at Suter's just look enormous. But yeah, I think 7 matches isn't enough to judge him, but the judgment's been made by Nelson, who I think has got a great future. The fact that he's, like we've said earlier, that he's been selected over Cody. So there's your, you know, we know where this is going, you know, without, you know, there's no doubt about that. So whether there's someone that's going to be happy enough to pay Cody $75,000, and it depends on the player as well, isn't it? If he wants to play football, then he will take a pay cut. You know, he'll earn enough. So it's just going to be about him, isn't it?
Yeah, I struggle to see him sitting on the bench for another whole season, Killer. I really do. I don't know. Who knows? Just a couple more things from the match. Enzo, as you often say, Killer, isn't clearly an avid listener, because having finally relented to our demands and played McAteer in number 8, our other suggestions for number 8 were Pratt and Albrighton, and he played Pratt number 8 for this one.
Yeah, slightly... I find that slightly surprising, but pleasing. I do think that Dennis Pratt's got a role to play this in the season. The thing is with Dennis Pratt, it's one of these. Some people really like him. Some people aren't sure. I've got to say, I'm just very much in the not sure camp. How did he play yesterday? It was okay. He got the penalty, But again, he's one of these players. You always want a bit more from Dennis Pratt, Norm, don't you? Do you get that impression?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. He never sort of. I quite like him. I think he's just very much a 6.5, 7 out of 10 player, and rarely does anything brilliant. But I don't think he often has a stinker. I think he's just like a bit meh. I think he's okay. I was surprised that McAteer was put on the wing when Mavididi's could have played.
Well, it just gave him Mavididi a rest, wasn't it? All of it made sense to me. I mean, he's a squad player, isn't he, Dennis Pratt? So if you're going to give Mavididi a rest, McAteer's actually done well in the previous game. McAteer's the obvious guy to play on the wing. And then you do, it would have been Cassidy, wouldn't it? And actually, Dennis Pratt was involved in both goals. So he's a useful guy to have around, but he's another one killer that goes out of contract in the summer. I wouldn't be renewing that contract.
No, I don't think the club have any intention to do that. It's almost like, you know, obviously he's a reasonably good footballer. He's drawing a big wage. Why not play him? And again, it's going to be interesting this summer. There's quite a few key footballers out of contract. And again, we'll talk about this another day. But the interesting thing is, do we offer them contracts? Because again, come back to the economics of football, because it's so massively influential now that if a player is out of contract and you're offering a new one, it just means you don't have to get involved in agent fees, signing on fees, and all the other bits and bobs that you have to do if you're going to dump them out of the club and try and replace them.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I saved this one for resident Stato Norm. Norm, Vardy came on at the weekend for his
450th appearance,
equaling
Steve Walsh.
Steve Walsh.
Oh, you both got it. I thought I'd get you on one of those. Well done. Yeah, I mean, the GOAT, Norm, the GOAT.
Absolutely. He is just literally a legend, isn't he? And what a fantastic achievement. It's funny when you say that. He's equal the sixth, and obviously will surpass Stevie Walsh. What I don't know is how many he needs to get to the fifth and the fourth. But you know, I can sort of remember us signing him from Fleetwood. You know, I can't believe it's that long ago. But fantastic for him to have got so many appearances, and of course so many of those in the Premier League. And you know, he's just wonderful. And he is the one player that whatever happens, however he is, I think he's still got something to offer us, obviously. He's the one that we must keep next year. It'll be a huge mistake if he's let go.
Any disagreement, Killer, with that?
I'm right, Tim, just on the appearances, because I think it's worth, I think when we're dealing with stats and we're talking about somebody like Jamie Vardy, let's get this all into perspective. You're right. He surpassed Steve Walsh. There's two players he's not going to get anywhere near. Graham Cross is number one, 600 appearances. Adam Black is number two, 557. Kasper Schmeichel's number three, 479. If Jamie Vardy's offered another contract at Leicester City, he will surpass Kasper Schmeichel. I didn't actually realise Kasper Schmeichel got 479. Did you?
No, I didn't actually.
I didn't realise he got more than Mark. Mark Wallington was at the football club for seemingly about 54 years.
Yeah. He played every game, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He played every single game, of course, with the ex. Even the Shrewsbury. I think he came back after the Shrewsbury game when he got absolutely poleaxed by Chick Bates. I think he was back the next game. I might be wrong on that. So yeah, we've got an opportunity with Jamie Vardy that he could, with another year, end up being the third highest player. Now, you know, given the fact that this is in the era, of course, where footballers just generally move around. You look at Graham Cross; he was at the club for 14 years. You don't get that anymore, do you? Adam Black was there for 15 years, for instance. So you know. Remarkable tenure, and as you quite rightly said, a GOAT. Sorry, Tim.
I was just going to add in one more. So I think I'm right in saying this, that I think he's only behind Arthur Chandler, Arthur Rowley now in terms of goals. He won't catch them. No. But he's third leading scorer as well. So he could become third in appearances and third leading scorer.
But and again, on the just to sort of wax lyrical again, he was only about 26 when he came.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
You know, he's 25, 26. So it's to have got that many appearances. Superb.
Absolutely brilliant. Final one from me on the match was good to see Hamza back at Vicarage Road, got on the pitch there, didn't he? Which I think he would have appreciated that. So, Killer, last week we were having a conversation about, we'd had an email in, fairly openly quite critical email, and we did touch on various things. And one of the things that we then got talking about was the atmosphere at King Power. And I'd pointed out that at Swansea there were some boos and stuff. And we've had another email in from Jules. So Jules, thank you for that. He contacted us last season actually, and he sent quite a long email, says some very nice things about the show at the start of the email. So thank you for that, Jules. If I go on and I'll tell you both what he said, be quite interesting to get your reaction. So he says, I'd like to weigh in on the subject of the atmosphere at the King Power. Being overseas, I get a lot of my exposure to the club via social media. And this sadly means reading a lot of whingers about how lousy our home support is, particularly compared to away games. But the whole discussion about atmosphere is not as simple as it seems. You can't just say the home support is rubbish. At an away game, the match itself is not the be-all and end-all. It's the main attraction, of course, but the demographics different to the home games. It's usually men, often out on the beers for an away day, away from the chores of daily life. We make it an event, come what may. Think, have you ever been on a massive pub crawl with all of your mates, come home at the end of that and said, well, that was a bit boring, wasn't it? No. And away days are the same. We go to entertain ourselves and the match provides a location to do that. Contrast that with a home game where a lot of the crowd go and expect to be entertained. And for the away lads in the cop, it's not just the same because we're not away from home. Combine this with Enzo's generally methodical chess-like football where the pace is often slow, much slower than we've been used to. And there is very little that's going on to generate a consistent atmosphere. Maybe a rousing comeback would do it, but we're rarely behind and never by more than a goal. And I'm interested in your views on that, on the above. So thanks for that, Jules. That's a very well put together email. If you want to email us, it's leicestercitypubcast@gmail.com. How would you react to that, Norm?
How would I react to that? I think I've lost my place on the pubcast. Jules, welcome aboard.
We'll take that.
I think it's spot on. I think it makes very, very, very good points, and I think it's interesting, isn't it? We've all supported Leicester for many, many, many years. We've seen far, far more downs than ups, and I think there's a lot of fans, the younger fans, that have just fundamentally used to success. So this is going away a little bit from what Jules has said, but I think one of the atmosphere things is when we're doing so well, It does become a bit of an expectation, doesn't it? And I don't expect us to, even though I predict it, to win every game. But, you know, it is quite frustrating if you don't, when you know that you're so good. So I think it's a bit indicative of the success as well. The thing with the atmosphere at home, what's disappointing at the moment is the number of people that are leaving when the match isn't necessarily completely finished. I mean, at full time, the stadium does appear to be, you know, maybe three quarters full, maybe even half full sometimes. And I don't quite understand the need to rush off to your car when you're only winning by a goal. And I think that affects things, because I think at the end of the game where we've won and won a massive round of applause and cheering, and if the stadium's, you know, empty, It doesn't offer the same. So I think there's a bit of almost the success has driven almost like an expectation. Hey, we're going to win. Might as well go off. We, you know, see them next week, win again. It's I think that's where the other thing where it's a bit of a challenge.
It's been marked, Killer, this season, hasn't it? The difference between the away support's been vociferous all season, hasn't it?
I just want to put this into perspective, guys, because I think because Leicester City's our team, sometimes we're just too critical of stuff that goes on without taking a more balanced view. Let me spin this another way. What us three have got in common is we've done hundreds of away games between us, haven't we? And we've gone to lots of different grounds, large, small, Old Trafford, the Emirates, God knows what. Okay. And all I would say is if you turn around to me across, I don't know, if I've done 200 Leicester City away games, if you turn around to me and said, you know, count up the number of times you've been to an away game and it was an outstanding atmosphere, you'd be down to one hand. Generally speaking, most home grounds are quiet. I've been to Anfield, it's been like a library. I've been to Highbury, it's been like a library. White Hart Lane, etc., etc. I've been to Old Trafford where there's 75,000. You can hear a pin drop. So this isn't a Leicester City issue. This is a football fan issue. And what happens is with football fans is, with home games, is there's so many of them. It's not like you get one every 3 months, so therefore you literally got your little advent calendar out and you're counting down. You know, you've got two Leicester City home games coming up in the space of a few days. They therefore aren't special occasions, whether we like it or not. And I think what happens is there's just a bit of... there's a bit of the mundane about it, as opposed to, quite rightly, brilliant email. If you're getting on the train and you're heading off to Watford and you're having a few sherbets and you're meeting your mates, of course you're going to go there for a good old sing-song. And I think you do that more because of the fact that you are in the minority in the crowd, and therefore there's a kind of like, we're Leicester and we're going to out-sing you. I know lots of fans have said about the King Power this season, rubbish home atmosphere, blah, blah, blah. I think you can eat. I know Leicester fans that have said they went to Cardiff this season, rubbish home fans, you know, rubbish home fans. Chatting to a mate of mine, rubbish home fans. He's been to every single away game this season. Hasn't really, has really, apart from Coventry, really seen a great home support. It's not a Leicester City thing. It's a football thing. For me, I don't think we're as bad as any or any worse than anybody else. The other thing I would say is as well is this club. Do you remember on the Great Escape season we bought the Clappers? It was the invention of the Clappers.
Yeah,
and that's the best atmosphere I've ever seen. Not maybe just not King Power anywhere. Do you remember when we used to score and the whole ground used to shake?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, there was the Richter scale thing, wasn't there?
But it was just loud. And I remember a mate of mine coming down from Aberdeen, and I said to him, I've got him a ticket for the game, and he hadn't been for a while. I said, just to let you know, mate, I said, in my opinion, this is the best atmosphere I've seen at King Power. And he turned around to me mid-game, and he went, this is absolutely brilliant, mate. I said, oh, yeah, it's been like this since we started winning. And, of course, that just snowballed over to the next season. But I remember thinking to myself, it won't last because it never does. And it didn't. But the problem is, but that almost became the standard and everything else. All I'm saying is, for the King Power, see the Emirates, see Anfield, see Old Trafford, see City Ground, et cetera, et cetera. It's all the same.
I think the atmospheres are better, aren't they, when any ground where there's a bit of jeopardy. And you know, for us, it sounds overly arrogant. There really hasn't been, certainly up until this point in this season. As Stephen Schumacher said, the Stoke manager, you understand what you're up against when you're playing against Leicester. You can go about it in two ways. Sit back and defend and admire them and get beat, or you can have a go and get beat. It's a quote of the season, isn't it? Absolutely brilliant. Right, we need to come on and just look at our double game week. But I just wanted, there's a couple of things I wanted to get thoughts from you on, non-Leicester. Well, one of them sort of Leicester because it's blue. Blue card, none?
Not interested in it at all. I think... I don't think it's required. Again, it will be. It's just yet another thing for them to get wrong. Where it's, you know, they're sending someone to the blue carding someone for something that shouldn't have been blue carded, and therefore having an enormous effect on the game. I think the other thing is it will just encourage teams to, as soon as they're down to 10, 9 men, just to sit back, defend. Wait for the player to come on. I think it'll ruin the game. Yeah. A bit like VAR.
Yeah, I agree. I like the idea of driving down dissent in football, but it was interesting actually watching the rugby match at the weekend where England had two players sin-binned and Wales did at the end. And as a fan, you automatically go into, right, let's get through this 10 minutes mode. And I'm sure the manager will have that thought as well. Right, we've got to, as you say, Norm, sit back, get through the 10 minutes. I think it could drive quite boring football. The other thing for me, Killer, is I haven't understood what it could do that a yellow card shouldn't be doing if the refs applied it properly.
They're trying to just use it for the dissent issue, aren't they? It's kind of like, if you dob off at me as a ref, I can give you a yellow, but actually that's not really a deterrent. A blue and you being off the pitch might be a deterrent for you. I'm with Norm, I don't get it. Here's the thing I would like to see in football. And by the way, this probably wouldn't work, because actually I quite like the idea of VAR before VAR came in, and it doesn't work. But here's what I would like to see. I'm somebody in football that I hate to see games or teams go down to 10 men, because I think it ruins it. So what I would like to see in football is, you know where you get two yellows, you're effectively off. I would like to see two yellows, because let's be honest, it can be fairly innocuous, can't it, two yellows? You can throw the ball away, yellow. You can gob off to the ref, yellow. Then all of a sudden, the game's spoiled. Here's what I would like to see. Two yellows mean you leave the pitch, you have to be subbed.
Mm.
That's okay. What I would like to see. You've now got to sub him. He's leaving the pitch, and we're going to keep 11 on the pitch. And so therefore, the only thing you're ever sent off for is foul play. That's what
I don't mind a player being sent off. I think it can add something to a game sometimes.
I hate it. Really?
It depends on the circumstances, doesn't it?
Have you ever gone to a Leicester City away game? And I remember once walking into a Leicester City away game, and we were late getting to Bristol Rovers. We ran into the ground, 20 minutes gone, and as we're walking in, David Lowe's walking off the pitch. And I turned around, some guy went, "What's happened?" He went, "It's just been sent off."
get back on the coach.
Yeah. And guess what the score was in the end?
0-0.
0-0.
Well, it's a good performance then.
Completely ruined it. From our point of view, it was like, oh, blimey, should have stayed in the pub. Yeah. Oh, by the way, on that, what was funny about that is the reason we were late is because we were young and stupid, and we were under the misapprehension that Bristol Rovers ground was in Bristol.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't, was it?
Just arrived in Bristol. Hi, love. tell us where the Bristol Rovers ground is. It's in Bath. Over GPS.
Yeah, the only other thing that caught my... Did you see the Bayern Munich result yesterday?
As my mate said, poor old Harry Kane. They've won 11 titles in a row. He goes there thinking, if I can't win silverware here, I can't win silverware anywhere. They're going to blow it, aren't they?
You wouldn't have thought you'd have to say the words, would you? If Harry Kane really wants to win trophies, he's going to have to leave Bayern Munich, isn't he?
Yeah.
It's just. I read to me, just like sort of how, like the fact that it's him and Eric Dier. You can't take like the Spurs out of it.
Spursy.
It's the Spursiness to Bayern Munich. It's like more Spursy than anything.
Right. Let's get on. Time's ticking away. Double game week norm start. In fact, these two games, I think, it's a bit silly, isn't it? So they're quite important. Put it like this: we've got two nice home games before. Quite a difficult run coming up, actually, because following these games, we go away to Leeds, we go away to Bournemouth in the Cup, get a little break with QPR at home, and then we go away to Sunderland and Hull. So four out of the next five away from home after these two, starting with Sheffield Wednesday, Norm.
Yeah, they've had a slight upturn in form, Sheffield Wednesday, haven't they? But they are, you know, they are still down the lower reaches of the Championship. I don't think they're a particularly good side. That they're battling a bit, and obviously they've let the manager go. But it's very much. I mean, both of these games are very much very winnable, aren't they? I think if we don't come out of the Sheff Wednesday game with a big fat W next to our name, it would be very disappointing. I'm sure they won't. Have a particular go. I think they'll probably park the bus, and it'll, I suspect, take a little bit of time for us to break them down, but we will do, and I'm sure we'll go on and win the game. Got to be confident about it. You know, it's a home game against a team in the bottom, near the bottom. It's we couldn't have a nicer game, really, could we, after a fairly tough away game against Watford. And like you say, there's a nasty little run coming after the Borough game.
Yeah, we could definitely do with winning it. It's odd, isn't it? Because that draw with us was a great result for them. And they had looked like they were turning it round, but actually their form's been patchy, to say the least, since then. And they're in touch, aren't they? But not much more than that. Yeah. So yeah, fingers crossed. And then Killer, welcome back Luke Thomas to the King Power. If he can get a game, because he came on a sub at the weekend after 68 minutes. Can't get a game at the moment. The other Luke did that they signed in January, Luke Hayling. So they've got Leeds fullback on one flank. And it'd be nice to see Luke Thomas. I wonder if there's a clause to stop him playing, or maybe there's a clause that they must play him against us.
Yeah, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. I mean, we mentioned it earlier in the programme. We all thought Middlesbrough, good manager, had a good, really good season last season. Narrowly missed out. We thought they could be one of the contenders. Just hasn't happened for them. And actually, even, you know, you think to yourself, last two games that they've played, both been at home. They played at home to a struggling Sunderland team, home to Bristol City, who are going to pull up no trees, drew and lost them. It just hasn't clicked for Michael Carrick at all this season, which has been surprising. So, look, what we know about this Leicester team is where we think there's a gulf in class between who we're playing and the opponents, it's pretty much always been a W, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're just about in touch now. They're only 6 points off the playoffs. But there's some, dare I say, heavyweight playoff teams that are looking like they're not necessarily going to fall away. I mean, Ipswich, West Brom, I'm not going to say Cov. Sunderland and Hull have bounced around there. Norwich are still up there. Preston as well. So
look, there's loads of teams that are still, you know, this is why the playoffs, obviously why I do like the playoffs. It does keep interest for almost the majority of clubs. You know, the same Middlesbrough are certainly not out of it, but I don't think they're like Killers alluded to. They're not, you know, they've been struggling. Carrick's not had the best of seasons. I would imagine their fans feel that they've underperformed, and which I suppose is a danger. I think on their day they can probably be, you know, pretty decent, and of course they are one of the teams that's beaten us. But it was a absolute wonder strike that did for us, and I don't think they were particularly better than us that day. I can put your fears to, well, not fears to rest, Tim. You will not be seeing Luke Thomas because he's only on loan. And you can't play against your parent club, so he won't be taking part. That's a league rules. Not,
is it really? I did not know that. Good knowledge. Yeah, it's strange.
Well, I think I'm right.
strange to think we haven't beaten either of these sides. We've played two sides we haven't beaten this week. Yeah, it'll be interesting. Right, the predictor with Trump Wales IPA, 3 points if we get it all right. Precise scoreline, or 1 point if we just get the result right. And Killer, in your absence last week, you actually did go top of the table.
Well, to be honest, that was one of the main reasons I wasn't here, because as Norm knows me better than anybody. I'm not a gloater.
Yeah, let's see if the listeners would agree with that. So, interestingly, the Watford game, yeah, we all thought we would win, but not by the margin. So, Killer, you're on 34. Leading the way, and we're both right behind you on 33 points. So, Killer, two predictions, please. Wednesday and Borough.
Okay. Sheffield, Leicester City 3, Sheffield Wednesday 0. Have you noticed, by the way, how many times we beat rubbish teams 3-0? It's like, it seems to be a magic score. So, we're going to go 3-0. Don't you two just copy that just because I've said it and you go, oh, he's right.
He has one week at the top. 1 week at the top, Norman. Listen to this ego.
I've written 3-0 down, so I am going to copy it.
Yeah. Well, hold that piece of paper up in the pub, Norm. So, everyone. I think Middlesbrough's going to be a bit tight. I'm going to go 2-1.
Yeah. Okay. That'd be a good week for us, Norm. What about you?
I genuinely had put 3-0 down, but I am going to change it because I will refuse to copy someone that's never got close. So I'm going to go for 4-0, Jeff Wednesday. And I believed it was going to be closer against Borough, but I had put 3-1, and I'm therefore sticking with 3-1 against Borough.
Okay, I'm going 2-0 against Wednesday and 3-1 as well against Borough. So let's see how that turns out. Final thoughts, guys. Killer.
Resilience.
Oh, sorry, Norm. Go on.
Resilience. Because that's, as Killer alluded to, that's what we had and showed against Watford after, you know, making the game a little bit harder than it needed to be.
Killer.
11th of February, 75 points.
That's magic, isn't it?
11th of February last year, we beat Spurs 4-1. So it's not a bad day all round, is it?
Yeah.
Very true.
That's it, folks. We're all off to teach rugby fans some more Leicester City songs, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
If you enjoyed the Leicester City Pubcast, please subscribe and tell everyone about it. If you hated the Leicester City Pubcast, please keep it to yourselves. See you next week.